monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll free number 888-938-4643.
SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, and coming out of the, well, a little more than first half on this Monday, and Case, well, I'll keep trying him, Case, he just texted me back 2 seconds ago, because I told him we were running a little bit late. We've been a little behind, I guess. Well, we had an extensive, we had like a double-sized visit with Kenny McPeak and Neil Pessin with us, and Rich Migliori as well. And we're going to talk, as mentioned, with Jeff Runco and Arnaldo Bocachica in a little bit, as well as Todd Pletcher. Right now, though, happy to welcome back Paulo Lobo. We talked to him in September after the win at Kentucky Downs, and he comes back to Keeneland. It wasn't the Shadwell this year, but it's still the Turf Mile at Keeneland in the fall, and he wins it with the other entrant in Love, the Agnes Gold veteran now, and Paulo and Alex Achard in a really kind of a resounding fashion. Congratulations, Paulo.
Good morning, Steve. Thank you for the opportunity again. Yes, it was a very good Saturday.
Talk about coming in with the two horses, and Ivar, you probably have got some thoughts about what happened to him, but talk about angling the two of them to this race.
Yeah, we decided to go with In Love after the race at Kentucky Downs. Can look like a little weird to run both horses in the same race, but I didn't want to ship In Love to other state. And just being said that, also we had Ivar. We have been planning this race for a long time for him. He had a problem after his race in May, and we needed to stop at him. He came back to the track probably, I think, in July, and since that, he hadn't lost one day of training. And we were pointing in July, August, we were only pointing Ivar. And then after the In Love's race at Kentucky Downs, and thinking to not move the horse from Kentucky, then we decided to run both horses here at Kentucky.
Well, it pays off handsomely, and let's talk about the win, and then we'll come back to Ivar. But In Love and Alex Achard, who I met for the first time at Kentucky Downs on the Friday we were broadcasting. He came up to where we were a little too late to get him on the show, but I did get to talk to him after we finished, and this is his first Grade 1 win, and he's the latest French rider to make a splash the United States.
Yeah, when I arrived here in Kentucky in 2019, he did approach to me and asked me if he could work some horses for me. And he started working some horses for me, and that time he was, and he's based at Indiana. And I told him my first horse that I I will send to Indiana. I'm going to use you. And then I was watching him. He was doing nothing wrong. And then came the meeting in Turfway. I gave him more mounts. And since that, he has been riding a lot for me. And he's doing perfectly. He's a very good rider.
He's 3 for 3 since hooking up with In Love, and
yes.
You know, this is a horse that, you know, the way in which he won this and earned a big fig, his best to date. It just feels like this 5 year old. You know, we don't get to see a lot of Agnes Gold performers, so I can't say that we know all that much about how they develop. But, you know, this is a gelding. I mean, talk about, you know, his development since you got him last summer.
Yeah, he got here last year with Imperador and Intraday, all three together. I believe it was May last year. And then he ran only twice last year. He was third at Churchill in a very good race coming back. And then after that race, he won very impressively at Kinnelon. And then we gave a winter time for all my grass horses. We gave a winter time here in Kentucky. And then when he came back, the race, we tried him on the dirt because he ran and won on the dirt in Argentina. We want to see how he was going to do on the dirt. He ran bad. And then I think he ran a allowance. And then he ran a stake at Churchill. He ran very, very bad that day. And then we decided to send him to Arlington Park to look for a kind of a easier spot. And then he won. And then for the race in Kentucky Downs, we added blinkers on him because I think the race in Chicago, when he took the lead, he was waiting the horse that was second, the horse that he already passed. And then I think everything, I think the confidence was back, the blinkers was back, first time also, second time, sorry, at Kinnelon. And also, he knew the track. We know that he likes the track. And I think all the three things, and he had a very good trip, a beautiful trip, by the way. And I think everything worked well for him, Sally.
Well, and this is obviously a huge win. I mean, he's a gelding, so you're going to have the advantage and the pleasure of him going forward and being around for a while. Ivar happens to be a whole horse, and give us your feeling on what transpired with him. I thought there was a chance that he might get put up.
Yes, poor horse. You know, he ran the Breeders' Cup last year, and then we stopped him, and then he ran in May. We had to stop him, and then he is running. He running again in almost 6 months after the race in May. This poor horse just ran once in 1 year, and then. Let's see now if we can run him more often. And I think both horses came back very well. And we are planning to go to Del Mar for the same race. And I think In Love is for sure in his peak. And I think Ivar is going to improve from the race a lot. From the race last Saturday,
the prospect of bringing both of them to the Breeders' Cup. Ivar is going to kind of come in a little dirtied up. He was fourth in the Cup last year at Keeneland, beaten just two lengths. And of course, it was a natural for him to come back out of the Shadwell and run at Keeneland last year. Out of curiosity, you know Del Mar as well as any other of the tracks you've competed. It's a little bit of a tighter configuration. How do you figure the two of them take to the course at Del Mar with a little sharper turns and probably got to be ridden a little differently?
Yeah, that's a good question. One of the reasons that I put blinkers on him this time is not also is thinking on this race, but thinking more on the race on at Del Mar. Yes. And then I thought a lot about that. I think the horse in the morning, he was need something, a little extra help. And then we put a very light blinkers on him. I knew it that he was going to be sharp, fresh coming. I knew the risk, but we kept the blinkers on him for Saturday. And then he was a little rank. But I think he's going to have a much, much faster pace on at Del Mar. And I think it's going to help more my horses.
Basically, you want them a little closer, essentially, and then certainly than when In Love was running from well back. I mean, it does seem like since Alex got aboard, he keeps him basically just behind the speed, not so much from a closing position, more of a stalking position. And Ivar sort of runs kind of the same style, more or less, and maybe a little further back, but Paulo, you seem like you're going to be well suited and well positioned for success at Del Mar.
I believe so. Especially with Ivar. I think he's going. What I saw yesterday, what I see today. He ate everything. He's bright, happy, very happy horse today. And of course, it's a little early to make this decision. But based on what I saw yesterday and today, both horses, they look great. One is on his peak, and the another one, I think, is going to also, and both are good horses, and I think they are going. They have a good style for the grass at Del Mar. The grass at Del Mar also helps some horses that come a little off the pace sometimes, and then let's hope for that.
Well, Ivar's start in the Breeders' Cup last year, that was your second start because, of course, you took Farda Amiga to the distaff in 2002 to a second-place finish. So a chance for your third and fourth starters in the Breeders' Cup.
Yes, and we are going to take Imperador for the mile and a half on the grass.
I'm glad I was getting to him too. The excellent. So he's going to contest the turf.
Yes, yeah, he will. He will.
And how about that?
He's doing great. He worked here for the first time after his race at Kentucky Downs. He worked last Saturday and did great. Also, I think he's on his peak. And looks very happy, also bright and eating everything. Very sound horse. I know this race, a mile and a half, is good. And also all the races at the Breeders' Cup, they're going to be you know, very tough. But I think my horses are going to run well over there.
Outstanding. So three of them heading to Del Mar, and Talamo rode him at. So Joe's going to keep Ivar and Imperador, and Alex gets the ride on In Love.
Yes, perfect.
Very nice. That, well, Paula got to be very excited. You're only going to have to cash one more check, it looks like, to have your best year in North America this year.
Yeah, I hope. We are looking for that, for sure.
It's a great story. I said this to you last month because there's never been a question about your horsemanship, and you had that period where you just, you know, you struggled, and the move to Kentucky has really worked well for you.
Yes, it did, but also was a coincidence because I got those horses and I was in Kentucky. You know, if I was in California, I would get the horses anyway, you know. But
sure.
I was here, was a coincidence to have three good horses from the same crop of the breeder from Brazil and Argentina, and from the same owners partnership over there. And I think it's everything is working well for me at this point.
Well, just delighted for you, and heading out to Del Mar clearly with, you know, with real live horses. That's the best part about going out there.
Yeah, and let's hope now we have less than 1 month. Let's try to keep them happy and sound, and not to change anything at all, and just to keep them training well, and, you know, keep them happy.
That's it. I should mention, because we love to look for winners, you know, whenever we talk to the horsemen, how about Prince Major, later at Mountaineer today?
Yeah, this is a horse that he is bred for grass. But every time that I run on him on the grass, I think he is running better on the dirt. But today the grass is going to be a little kinder. He may like the race today. There are a couple of, you know, nowhere. Every time when you ship a horse, you never find an easy spot. There are a couple of horses that they are going for the tech, and good horses for the spot. But my horse is doing well. He won the second race ago, né? And the last one he was second behind a tough winner that day in a good time, and I think he's going to run well today.
Well, and I also want to ask about Picasso Collection, who we're going to see on Wednesday at Keeneland in the allowance.
Picasso Collection, man, when she ran first time in Keeneland, I thought I would have a stake filly on my hand. She was coming from nowhere, and she lost by a head. And after the first race, she never won the same. Never. Sure. And then I had to drop her to Belterra. She won two races over there. And then I'm trying to see if she runs the race that she runs as a first-time starter. I think she can do well tomorrow. Wednesday.
Nice. Two more allowance runners as well on Thursday and Friday. You've got Ping Pong Champ, that's in Indiana, a maiden, but Intraday, the Brazilian, on Thursday in the Keeneland Ninth, an allowance, and then Center Isle on Friday.
Yes, Ping Pong Champ, I think he's for the grass, not for the dirt. I think he has a good chance on the grass, if they keep on the grass. I have intraday. This horse also came with Imperador and of last year, and now he had a little problem. Now I'm going to get him his second race, and I think he should love the mile and a half on the grass. All the pedigree, all the bottom pedigree is for long distance, and I think he should love, the mile and a half. And Friday, we have Centerio coming from almost 1 year of layoff, and she has been training very well for this race, very well.
That's an Into Mischief and an expensive Into Mischief that Larry Best sent you. How many horses do you have of Larry's?
I have now 10 horses with for Larry Best.
How about that? Look at you. Nice.
Yes.
Nice. Yes. Well done, Paulo.
Yeah, thank you so much. And let's hope for a good race for her, because she was a very value, very expensive filly in the auction, and she's already a stake placed, and let's see if we start doing good things for her right now.
Well, good luck. I'm delighted for you to have a client like OXO. Paulo, so great. Congratulations. Again, you, bon chance, and Alex Achard. I'm going to be looking forward to seeing you at Del Mar in a few weeks.
Thank you so much, Chief. Thank you so much again for the chance to talk with you guys.
Pleasure. And Paulo Lobo, everybody. And you can follow Paulo. He's on Twitter. It's P_H_Lobo. L-O-B-O, of course. And 2 years in a row winning the Grade 1 Turf Mile. Last year, the Shadwell. Now the Keeneland Turf Mile, at least until they come up with a new sponsor. And you know what? Maybe they could talk to Triple Crown Nutrition. Jeff Runco, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
How you been? I was wanting to reach out to you. I think around Classic time, you won a pair on Classic night, right?
Yeah, we had 5 wins that night and 3 stakes.
Yeah,
3 stake races. Yeah, it was a
that's right.
Of a night.
Well, I'm glad actually that this is the occasion, because one of the first things that happened, I went to get up on Sunday morning and do my write-up for some races at Keeneland, and I thought, oh, let me look at what went on at Charlestown last night. And I'm like, this is impossible that he and Arnaldo Boca Chica won all these races, and 7 for you, and then Ollie Figgins got into the act, winning the tourism office with Doorbuster. But I mean, this is, I understand they were 3-5, 4-5, etc. But still, 3-5s and 4-5s get upset all the time. To win every one of these, it was just incredible.
Yeah, we're still trying to come down from that. It was a crazy night. When you have that many horses in, even though, like you say, they're favorites, one bobble at the gate, one this, one that, and the horse gets beat. It happens all the time. But, things lined up right that night. The horses stood well in the gate, got off good, and things went the way, went perfect for the most part.
Unbelievable. And Casey's pulling Arnaldo in as well. This is a magical night, obviously, to win 8 races. And Charlestown was digging through the record books. Is there any comparison that you can come up with to this kind of a run?
Not really. I mean, it's definitely a high mark for us. It was just, like I say, it was a wild and fun night. But we just kind of stayed focused the last, so this last month, knowing that we had a lot of good chances this year. The babies were got ready on time, and they were all doing well and coming into the race again. Broke at the right time, and just everything was lining up. So I just talked to my people and said, hey, let's just stay focused. We don't want any unforced errors before the classics. Pay attention to everything, and let's try to get this done.
Well, you mentioned the classic, and not only were these seven wins, but you obviously had multiple horses in a couple of spots. But most notably, you end up running 1-2-3 in the classic. The Run to Daylight, Amidships, and Ryan Sword—an amazing accomplishment in its own right.
Yeah, there are three nice colts. They all just broke their maiden. Run to Daylight, that Run Happy Colt is really good. He's had a little bit more experience than the other two, but they're all three real nice colts. Run to Daylight was for David Raymond, who had actually five wins that night. A great client, buys really nice young horses at the sales all the time, and he's getting his return now on some of his purchases.
I'm glad you brought David up, because in all of the congratulations, and that included some from me, David Rame, I realized kind of after the fact that Rame had himself had a five-win night, which is, any owner, I mean, that's a heady result.
Yeah, it was magical for David. Him and his wife were there, and they were just ecstatic. And especially when, he won the first race with Run to Daylight, then he came back with The Sky is Falling. And she had a really rough trip in her second start in the stake, going 4.5, had the one hole, got bumped leaving the gate, got shut off going across the chute, and had just a terrible trip. And she doesn't want to do 4.5 anyway. So we put some blinkers on her, and I told David for at least a week or two before the race, that Dave, this horse is going to improve tremendously in her next start with these blinkers. So she's just done well. Arnaldo took her to the gate with us, and he was just couldn't be happy the way she trained with him. And I told her all week, she ended up paying $20.
let me welcome in Arnaldo Boca Chica as well and congratulate him. Eight wins, the seven stakes for Jeff Runco and clients, and one for Ollie Figgins. Arnaldo, just a magical, magical evening.
Yes, just amazing night for me. I can't believe that I got eight wins on Saturday night.
And, Jeff just mentioned the opener, Run to Daylight at 3-5. But I would guess that it was after The Sky is Falling at 9-1, the $20 horse that he just mentioned. How quickly did you realize that, you were on a big roll? You got beaten the third race on a 4-1, but then you sweep the rest of the card.
Yeah, when that filly won, we actually liked the horse, but she was really training good until they put the blinker, and the last word that she has was really good. So we liked the filly. We knew we have a good opportunity to win it. But to actually end up winning it and easy, and then come back and win the fourth race, I know I have a lot of good chats, but you still have to run the race and make sure everything goes right to win the race. So I'm just glad everything worked out.
Social Change was the third winner. That came in the lottery. Breeders Classic. This for Smart Angle, Jeff, and I know Smart Angle. Somebody we know is it Rodney Jenkins that trains for them in Maryland?
No, it's a Mark Reed transfer. Smart Angle's Dan Ryan, another real good client of ours that he bought this horse as a yearling also. He has horses, has some horses with Pino, and he has some horses in Maryland.
Okay.
He's got horses, a lot of different tracks.
I see Smart Angle, and I think of him as also, Mid-Atlantic, Mid-Atlantic.
Yeah.
Racing and you see him at down in Florida as well. Social Chic wins the lottery, wins by a neck too. Arnaldo, that one you got headed, right? I mean, that horse of John McKee's came at you.
When we came to the stretch, the horse came out in my outside, but I felt like my horse before he came, he kind of look around a little. He does that sometimes. So when he felt the horse next to him, he did back in and just responded well and finished strong and win the race.
The next one came for Ollie Figgins, and so here's a chance. And again, it was a shorter price, 3-5 on Doorbuster. But nice that you were able to, get one for Ollie, and it wasn't going to Jeff wasn't going to box out everybody.
I want to say thank you to Ollie to give me the opportunity to ride this filly because the rider that used to ride her got hurt, so he gave me the call. So I want to thank him for giving me the opportunity. This filly just won easy last time. She was in trouble the whole race. They opened the rail a little bit late, and she got to win. So this time I just wanted to keep her out of trouble so because she looked like she was much the best in that race. So that's what I tried to do, and I got the job done.
Well, this one, a Spitester filly out of a half hour's mare, bred by Catherine Jenkins and Scott Mallory, for owner Jay Reese. And then the march with Jeff continues the last four races. Penguin Power, wire to wire, and drawing off at 30 cents on the dollar in the Thoroughbred Breeders Association. This for David Rame, bred by John McKee, a Fibersonde gelding. And this in some ways probably was the easiest of the night.
Yeah, Penguin Power, he's a really nice horse. And this is the third time that he win that same stake. And he just try every time. I mean, he's one of my favorite horse.
Penguin Power. And Jeff, this horse is now six, this gelding. And, when Sid Fernando and I, when we talk about regional sires, the Fibersonde story doesn't get told enough.
Yeah, he's a heck of a stallion. He really has thrown a lot of great runners there in West Virginia, and we've got some horses bred by him. We've bought some of the yearlings from John McKee privately. Ma Dibbs, another Fibersonde that we bought from John McKee. So he's been a tremendous stallion. He's been a real force for West Virginia and a great asset for John and Cindy McKee.
Then came the seventh. This was the Cavada Breeders' Classic, Star of Night, and the two of you were definitely the stars of the night. This one, 10 cents on the dollar, and actually you had to work, Arnaldo, to get past privately a 22-1 shot with Wesley Ho. This for Huntertown Farm, Heinz Steinman bred, but talk about this one, the win with the four-year-old filly.
Yeah, Star of Night. She won't win by 7-8 lengths all the time. She actually passed everybody and weigh on them. So when I got to her turn, I can tell the horse in the inside keep like digging back in, but I never was in doubt that was gonna win. I had so much horse and I knew she was gonna win and she broke a little slow, but I never panicked because she's done that before. And after that I was able to take it on the first turn and then go back to the outside and just have a clear path for her because I know when I ask her she's going to respond that she's just amazing feeling.
This one, as mentioned, Creative Cause, four-year-old filly. And Jeff, tell us about Huntertown Farm.
They're based in California, and the Steinman, Eric and Heinz Steinman, and there's some brothers and friends or partners in this. We've had multiple horses for them. They had a horse in the other couple of the races. They had Boaster, who ran third in the big race. But their father owned and they raced Creative Cause, and so they get quite a few of them. And they're starting.
Sure.
They've been starting to breed in West Virginia for a few years now, and we've got we have quite a few horses for them. They're great clients. They flew all the way out. The brother flew out with his wife and the other brother's wife for the races. And it was just fabulous. They came all that way. We got to be able to get a win for them while they were out here.
Oh, that's really nice. And I didn't realize the Huntertown moniker was Steinman. Arnaldo, at this point, there's only the late double left. There's the big race, the Breeders' Classic, where you know you're going to be favored on Modaudid. And then comes the nightcap with Stowe Angel. Now, at this point, you've won six of the seven. I mean, we've talked to plenty of riders who say when you start to win like this, you just go out there and you feel like you can't lose.
Yeah. Once I win all those races, like, I feel like everything was going just perfect. Like, every move I was making, like, if I needed room, the room opened. If I need to sell ground, I was able to sell ground. Like, I was like in a phone, like they say. Like, everything just seemed like in slow motion. And these last races, like, if you watch, the horses drove perfect. I was able to relax then. Like, everything just went perfect that night for me. So I'm glad that I was able to win all those races, and then everything went perfect.
Well, in this case, you basically stalked Hero's Man for James Casey and take over and draw away at 4-5 in the Breeders' Classic. And Jeff, you were third in here as well with Coleswood's North Atlantic. And then comes the Roger Ramey, the nightcap, and even money. So this was a clear favorite, but you put a real bow on the whole thing, Arnaldo. You win off by a half a dozen lengths.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that filly, that was another one that was training really well for this race. That's another filly that just put the blinkers on, and we work her like from the gate 1 mile, and she did just amazing. So once she worked like that, we knew she was going to be hard to beat.
Off by close to seven, and David Rame again, five wins for him. This is a Warriors Reward filly bred by Newborn Farm. And, what do you do at that point, Jeff, when you close out a night with seven wins?
Well, we were just kind of, doing our thing. We were definitely a little bit in awe, but, we were still staying focused, trying to get the night through, because we knew going in we have some good chances. We were just trying to stay focused, keep everything going. We had a lot of personnel had to be brought in to get all those horses run and cooled out, and I can't say enough about the team behind us that worked so hard to get the job done, and my wife, who's been a big plus as far as all the things we do over there. So a big shout out to everybody that helped. But it was we had 16 horses in that night, and we started it was an all-day affair, obviously, but at that point, we got done, and after that, we sat down and just kind of decompressed. That this is crazy. It was a crazy, fun night, and it was just, unbelievable. We just couldn't say enough about it, everybody.
Unbelievable. Jeff, I'm just looking. This is now your fourth best year, and you still really have got you got 2.5 months really to fill out 2021. You'd have to win a hatful, I think, to get past the career top earnings, which were just around $3.5 million. But it's been a good season, and perennially one of the leaders on the circuit.
Yeah, this last 5 to 10 years, we've really focused on the young horses, going to the sales, really trying to change our outfit in that direction. And it's just now you can see the benefits from that, because we're having more and more of the young horses become older horses, and then we got a new crop of young horses coming in every year. And we really love that part of it. We really love the young horses and developing them and going for the better races and taking our time with them. And that's what we're all about right now.
Well, it's funny because during the week the topic came up about collegiate animal husbandry and agriculture departments at colleges and universities. And in fact, University of Kentucky had that winner as well yesterday, that Averly Jane. But I always, you're the top of the list with researcher is the one I always think of. I think that was the first time I started to notice, that was Virginia Tech. But I think he was the first one I noticed prominently that was a horse in that arena.
That was a crazy year with that horse. He's a $3,500 purchase. ends up making almost $1.4 million. He wins the first Charlestown Classic, and then comes back and repeats it the second year, went to 2 years in a row. Just a phenomenal horse, won stakes all over the Mid-Atlantic. He was a lot of fun, to travel with, you know, and just a fabulous horse.
This is an open-ended question that I don't know the answer to. I try not to do that, but is he still alive?
You know, he is still alive. He was retired to a farm. They did a little steeplechase with him, and I think he's retired in Middleburg, Virginia now.
Oh, nice. Very nice. That's great, because he's got to be close to 20 or over 20.
Yeah. I haven't heard from him in the last year or so, but yeah, last I talked to the owner periodically, but yeah, he's in a beautiful multi-million-dollar farm in Middleburg, Virginia.
Very nice. Well, and Arnaldo, for you, let's talk about your career a little bit as well. Just a consistent winner, and in fact, the question came up earlier in the morning. How old are you?
I'm 34.
I said he can't be 35 years old. That's about what I thought, because you're Orlando's your older brother, right?
Yeah, he's my older brother. Yeah, he is.
And of course, your late father, who sadly died so young, and taught the two of you. I mean, I can only can only imagine how proud he is of was of the two of you and the careers that you've carved out.
Yeah, that was the only thing missing Saturday was my dad.
Yeah, exactly. Where's Orlando, by the way? He's been sidelined, right? I know he had an injury a couple of years ago, but I have not heard where he is.
Yeah, he's in Florida right now. After that last injury, he never was the same, and having a hard time trying to get back to riding.
Huh. Is he exercise riding, or what's he doing?
Yeah, he's working in the mornings.
Nice. Very nice. Well, you continue on. Over 2,000 wins. And, Jeff, you're approaching 4,500.
Yeah, we're getting pretty close, I think. I'm not sure exactly what the number is, but we're pretty close.
Well, nights like this, whenever there's a cold spell, all you got to do is look at these charts and think about one of the most amazing nights that a horseman and an owner, a barn can possibly have, and a rider as well. Arnaldo, congratulations. Just an amazing accomplishment.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Arnaldo Bocachica, and Jeff, same to you. Just unbelievable.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Jeff Runco, everybody, and Arnaldo Bocachica, 7 for Jeff and 8 for Arnaldo out of the 9 West Virginia Breeders' Classics at Charlestown Saturday night. And one as well for Ollie Figgins. And I guess we should... I'm doing a disservice to whoever was able to, let's see, where was that? Crystal Pickett, right? Yeah, Crystal Pickett won. She won the Dash for Cash. Well, you guys pretty much won most of the Dashes for Cashes. Hypothesis, an algorithm's gelding with Jesus Montano won the Dash for Cash. And Jeff, this was the race you guys were fourth in the third race, so you have to leave a little something for everybody else, you know.
Yeah, that's a heck of a horse hypothesis. He's really nice horse. He won the stake a few weeks earlier, and he's a tough horse, and he had a good trip, and he brings it every time.
You can follow Arnaldo, for those of you that are on Twitter, Jockey A. Boca. Jockey A. Boca. And Arnaldo will accept your congratulations and respond to everybody. And Jeff, what about you? Are you Twittering?
I'm not on Twitter. I look at it, I read some of the stuff on it, but I haven't been on Twitter, no.
Because there is...
Might have to try that.
Well, because somebody's you've got it. There is a Runco Racing.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, well, get back on there so people can, you know, so people congratulate you.
Okay.
It's funny. Your last tweet was March 6th when you congratulated Arnaldo and Billy Kennedy on their 2000th win.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. And then here you guys are doing something that nobody, I don't think anybody's really, I can't think. Jeff, I mean, have you, can you think of anybody that's done something like this?
Not really. I mean, I've had people call me over the last few days just, you know, saying, you know, that just doesn't happen. It just, you know, those things cannot happen. And that's kind of how we thought about it after we sat down and really saw how, you know, what happened on Saturday. It's just very difficult to pull something like that with just, you know, with horse racing, it's just anything can happen. And it does happen almost all the time when you have a lot of horses and something just doesn't go quite right. But, you know, when everything lined up the way it did and things went smooth and like Boca said, you know, the horses broke well and everybody was standing good, you know, Star Knight got off just a tick first, threw her head just a bit right at the start and cost her maybe a half a step leaving the gate, but she was overcome that because she was just such a great horse. But, you know, it doesn't take much to get one beat in this game. Everybody knows who knows about racing. It can happen so easy. So, it'll never happen. We'll never do it again. But I can't imagine ever doing it again. But we'll take it. We'll take it this time, and we're just thrilled to get it done, and thrilled for the owners and all the people behind the scenes, all my assistants, and you know, riders, and all the stuff that's been working hard to get this done. So, you know, we'll savor it for a while, and we're back at it, working at it, and go on to the next one.
Exactly. And you know, you think about the bull ring where, you know, you can get jostled and you get cut off and it costs you more than it would, you know, on a full size oval. I mean, there's so many ways to get beat. That wasn't an issue for Jeff Runco and Arnaldo Bocachica on Saturday in the Breeders' Classics. Guys, thanks so much for this. A lot of fun.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
There it is, Arnaldo Bocachica and Jeff Runco. I absolutely couldn't go through the weekend recapping without the two of them together. And congratulations. I mentioned the owner, David Rame, who won five, and for Billy Kennedy, too, for Arnaldo's agent. That's a tremendous accomplishment. So we've got about 15 minutes to close out on this Monday. And as I said when we went to the break, we've got plenty to do tomorrow. We didn't get to Fausto Gutierrez, so we'll look for Fausto tomorrow and Wesley Ward. And, of course, Andy will join us tomorrow, get Andy's take on the weekend and so much more. Todd Pletcher is going to join us here next. And I actually got a bunch of things to catch up with Todd because he's won a hatful actually of stakes of late. So and I haven't been able to connect with him. And of course following C is the win that we're gonna start with, but we'll work back too. There was Annapolis, right, last week and more. So we'll get, let me pull through here and find as Casey reaches for Todd. And of course I'm looking at Keeneland, so that's not gonna be of much use, right? All right, there we go. Switch off. And there's Belmont. You know, following C's win was notable to me for much the way Rich said that it felt like, you know, this was his opportunity. And granted, you know, it's a four-horse field after Jalen Journey ended up scratching. But, you know, there was the obvious potential when he broke his maiden for Baffert at Oaklawn in the spring. And, you know, then moved over to Todd and had that big allowance win with Joel. You know, the Haskell too long ran well in the Jerkins, but Jackie's Warrior was, and Life is Good, the two of them, and we'll, we will get an update from Todd on Life is Good after his win last week as well. But yeah, following C, there's more to come, obviously, with him. So looking forward, and Todd, I think, is with us in the background.
Yes, I am.
Speak up, you know. Don't be shy. I'm sitting here tap dancing, you know, while we wait for you. This feels like a horse, Todd. That, you know, that this was sort of a fait accompli. You knew that there was going to be a circumstance and an opportunity that, you know, where he was going to capitalize.
Yeah, I mean, he simply trains too well, and he's run too well in some of his other races that. You know, I think in looking back, we were probably a little too aggressive making the move we did into the Haskell, but he trained so strongly into that. And the one thing I would say about that particular day is he got himself a little worked up in the paddock. He got a little bit hot, and the track at Monmouth was not playing like your typical Monmouth track. I don't believe that speed really held up at any point during the day, and especially in the two-turn races. So he, when he ran back in the Jerkins, you know, that was a crazy fast race. And Johnny tried to take him back off the pace a little bit that day because they were going so fast. And he got dirt in his face for the first time and actually ended up finishing up pretty well against, you know, arguably two of the best horses in training right now. So we weren't surprised to see him come back and run well. And, you know, it was a good opportunity for him. Obviously, some things went his way in a short field, but at the same time, he was talented enough to take advantage of that. And, you know, once he made the lead as easily as he did, I was going to be extremely disappointed if he didn't go ahead and win impressively like he did.
Well, he did, and he's never been worse than third, even, you know, even with everything that went on down at Monmouth. Got now a third win, six starts, and I'm going to assume that long term, there's some interest for next year to probably try to stretch him out again. Or do you think that, you know, that this kind of a configuration, elongated sprints and one turn miles, is this his immediate future?
Well, if you watch him train, he's a horse that certainly gives you the impression that he will stretch out, and so. You know, I think at some point we'll give him that opportunity again. Seems to really like Belmont, but he's also trained well everywhere he's gone. And so, you know, I spoke to Ned Toffee briefly after the race, and we're just going to kind of give it a little time to digest everything and see how he bounces out of the race and see how everything's continuing to come together in the Breeders' Cup. And we'd also kicked around, you know, a race like the Seaguar Mile or the Malibu later on. All those races could make sense, but first and foremost, we'll see how he is and how quickly he's wanting to run back.
And what kind of, in terms of recovery time with him coming out of things like Haskell and the allowance win even, which was, you know, a big figure win and the first start for you, you know, what kind of a horse is he in terms of recovery time and weight loss, etc.?
Well, you know, anytime you run super fast, and the more time you get, it's usually the better. But, you know, I thought that he bounced out of his allowance race at Belmont really well and kind of see similar energy from him coming out of this race. But the Haskell, you know, with the ship and the hot weather and everything, that one he took the hardest and took him a little while to get over. Mm. But, you know, this race appears that he's come out of it with good energy. And, you know, he really wasn't hardly used. You know, the last eighth of a mile, Joel kind of wrapped up on him,
yeah.
and held something in the tank, I think.
No doubt. So we'll see. We'll see if you know, whether you put him on the plane or not. And there's going to be plenty of horses. This is assuming you can find a plane to. to get out west with all the horses that are going to have to make their way to Del Mar. Let's talk about some other performances. And actually, Todd, there's quite a few. I've got winners to talk about, like Annapolis, and Life is Good. But there's also some horses that were not winners over the last couple of weeks that actually gave really good accounts of themselves. And let me slip these in before we talk about Life is Good in Annapolis. Dr. Post ran a sneaky good race last week. Double Thunder ran fine on Saturday in the Futurity. And the one that has people talking the most, and especially in light of what went on with Andy Beyer Friday coming on and explaining the clocking, Command Performance ran very well in defeat in the Champagne behind Jack Christopher. Talk about those three that did not win.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're really pleased with their efforts. Command Performance, we were taking a calculated risk running into a grade one off the one race, but we felt like that really he ran a winning race in his debut. And if you've had the opportunity to watch the head on of the start where he basically got annihilated and still put in a big run, had to wait for room at the top of the stretch and countered traffic. I mean, he got about as much experience as you can get out of one race in his debut. So, you know, we factored that into the equation. We felt like he ran a winning race, and if he had won, we would have certainly been going into the Champagne. So we more or less just treated it like a win, and he trained strongly and gave us confidence to go ahead and enter. And I thought he ran great. I love the way he finished. He was closing ground late, galloped out in front. So was encouraging, and it gives us confidence that he's the quality of horse that we thought he was going in there, and hopefully can make another step forward going into the Breeders' Cup.
Nice. And before we talk about Dr. Post and Double Thunder, and we still have to talk about Annapolis and more, and Life is Good and Major General, but what are you going to do about Wit and straightening him out coming out of the gate?
I think everyone makes too big a deal about Wit in the gate. You know, he's just not a quick horse away from the gate. And, you know, everyone, it's not a behavioral issue. It's just he doesn't break quickly. He's in Ocala now. He's getting a vacation, and we'll freshen him up, and we'll bring him back to Gulfstream and probably focus on, races like the Hutchison or the Swell or those type of races to start off the season and see how he goes from there.
Nice. All right. Dr. Post, you got to think that he's kind of coming in to Breeders' Cup as a sleeper, and, you know, certainly shipping out to the Pack Classic and running kind of a funny race where he sort of looked like he was backing up on the turn and then came again. I chalk that up to that heavy surface. Talk about Dr. Post, because he could be very useful, very clever going into the Classic.
I mean, he's a horse that we've always felt like has the ability to win a big race. He sometimes gets a little bit lost, and you know, as you saw in the Pacific Classic, he came off the bridle in the middle part of the race and kind of lost the position he'd established, and then came running late. And that's sort of the things that we've seen from him, even with the addition of Blinkers, that's been somewhat frustrating, because we feel like he has the ability to win one of these big races, and he's certainly knocked on the door in a number of them. So, you know, we're going to see how he does, and I would say right now we're leaning towards maybe just bypassing the Classic and going to the Cigar Mile, but
wow,
we're going to see how he trains let him tell us.
Huh, because it at the time when you went out there for the Pack Classic, it seemed telegraphed like the Vino Rosso move going out to the Hollywood Gold Cup the same year that the Classic was going to be run at Santa Anita.
Yeah, that was some of the thought process. Of course, Vino Rosso went out there and won convincingly, and Dr.
True.
Post unfortunately did not.
All right. What about Double Thunder on Saturday? What did you come away with out of the Futurity?
Well, he showed up and ran hard like he always does. He didn't get away real cleanly, and that cost him some position. And I still thought at the 5/16 pole he had a big shot to win, and he got a little bit lost. I think he's a horse that might be looking for some blinkers just to give him a little more focus. He kind of, if you saw the sapling when he won, he made a big move, and when he made the lead, he really idled the last part. So he's consistently run well, but I don't think we've got the best of him yet, and maybe some blinkers will help. And so we'll see. Again, he's one that's sort of on the fence for us with the Breeders' Cup. He could go that way, or he could also go to something like the Kentucky Jockey Club, since he did have a win at Churchill earlier in the summer, or even the Remsen. But we're going to keep the Breeders' Cup in play for now and see how he trains.
Excellent. All right. Also on the two-year-old front, Major General, we haven't had a chance to talk about.
Yeah, he came out of the last race a little bit tired, and we decided to send him back to Windstar. He's getting a little bit of a freshening, so we probably won't see him again until Gulfstream.
Okay, all right. And before I ask about Life is Good and Annapolis, one performance, and I was at Philadelphia for Derby Cotillion Day, and I told anybody that listened that American Revolution was the right other horse with the top pair. And, here's a New York bred, so you've got, obviously, things to take advantage of, but this is a really nice horse, Todd.
Yeah, he really is. And, for him to run that well, considering he just broke his maiden back in June and, was running against sources with so much more seasoning experience than he has, I thought he ran great and came out of it well. Right now we're pointing for the Empire Classic on October 30th, and then we'll kind of assess where to go after that. But that was, I agree, I think that was impressive for him to finish with those horses and put in a good account of himself and that early in his development.
Yeah, and certainly backed up that Albany performance, which I'm sure some people just shrugged and said, he beat some Hazarai, but no, this is an exciting, it's an exciting New York bred. Todd, a quick updates on Life is Good and Annapolis off the Kelso win and the oh my gosh, is that the Pilgrim?
Pilgrim.
Hey, Pilgrim.
So yeah, Life is Good is doing great. I mean, he's an extremely impressive horse to watch train and breeze, and does everything so effortlessly. And so he's doing really well out of the Kelso, and we're zeroed in on the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, and hopefully continues to train as well as he currently is. But looks great. And really pleased with Annapolis. That was a short field, and I thought kind of a tricky race. It looked like on paper that there might be a little pace to run at, and when the Rudy Rodriguez horse kind of veered out at the start, I thought he was going to be the pace setter in the race, and when he wasn't there, I thought Irad made a really smart decision to put some pressure on Chad's horse, and at that point it kind of turned into a match race, and fortunately, we were able to dig down and find enough to get there, and really, really pleased for a second start for him to take another step forward. And now he's shown that in his debut, he was back off the pace, and this race he prompted the pace. So I think that gives Irad some options going into the juvenile turf.
Well, and he's clearly, we don't know yet all the participants from Europe, but he's a major, major player, obviously, heading in. And I want to ask about one other first-time starter debut winner that people may not have noticed. That was that filly, that Sweet as Pie the other day.
Yeah, really, really happy with that. We felt like she had trained well enough to possibly win in her debut. When she drew the one hole going 6.5, I said, that's probably going to be work against her. But she broke well enough, was able to establish some position, and I thought ran a very professional race, and, loved the way she finished. And she's bred to run
nice.
Much further, so that's it's always encouraging when you have one that's bred to run long and has enough talent to win in their debut sprinting.
Todd, this was great. I appreciate it. Best of luck going forward. Looking forward to Breeders' Cup.
All right, Steve. Thank you.
Todd Pletcher, everybody, on the heels of Jeff Runco and Arnaldo Boca Chica and Mig and Neil Pessin and Kenny McPeak and, of course, Paulo Lobo. A lot more to do tomorrow. Good luck if you're playing today, everybody. Talk to you Tuesday.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.